case of U2. Hence, for the moment, the message the singer wanted people to hear was generally lost as well. Seemingly overnight, U2 became hot. And as his group toured the globe, Bono's sensitive eyes were opened to a plethora of conditions he had never fully comprehended. The poverty he saw in many places sickened him. As money and fame rolled in, a time when he should have been on top of the world, his heart grew heavy. He found himself with more questions than answers. Why was he being blessed when so many were starving to death? Why was he on the cover of Time and Rolling Stone when millions of dying babies were being ignored? Where were the world's priorities? The men who made up U2 all read the Bible. The members often discussed certain elements of the Gospels and how they related to what they observed in their travels. Many times they asked what Christ would have thought of the world they saw each day. In fact, when Rolling Stone questioned Bono if U2 was a revolutionary band, he replied, "If sitting in the back of our bus and reading the Bible makes us revolutionary, then I guess we are." He told writer John Waters, "Judeo-Christianity is about the idea that God is interested in you. This was a radical thought, that God who created the universe might be interested in me. It is the most extraordinary thought." Yet sitting and reading the Bible, knowing God loved him, being blessed more than he could imagine, and being worshipped as a rock idol on stage, were simply not enough for the singer. Bono honestly felt that being blessed meant that he needed to bless others. Thus, in 1985, when Bob Geldof organized the Live Aid concerts, U2 was one of the first to jump on board. Bono and the group were thrilled to have the opportunity to play in a concert where all the money would go to feeding starving people in Africa. As the world tuned in, scores of the globe's greatest acts took to the stage and raised more than $200 million to fight the famine. Yet after the televised concerts in England and the United States ended, almost all the entertainers went back to their mansions, congratulating themselves on their splendid act of charity. One did not. For Bono, singing was not enough. He had to do more. What he did would complete his transformation from a man who spoke and wrote about faith to a person who boldly lived his beliefs. After his Live Aid performance at Wembley Stadium, Bono and his wife, Ali, caught a plane to the region of Africa hardest hit by famine. The couple spent the next 6 weeks quietly working in an orphanage in Wello, Ethiopia. What he saw as he watched children die in his arms overwhelmed him. Live Aid was not enough. Bono had to wake up the world to the plight of millions of poor people. He saw this blight as a crime against humanity and God. He would not accept that so many had to die because of corruption, neglect.